Jones for SUA chair, and don't vote for, I forgot his name right now, and vote for Sabina Gonzalez for campus organizer, and don't vote for this girl Colleen, who's from Students for Conservative America. Vote for David Harbaugh, not Matthew Cox.
I like Cox.
Yeah, so...
Great guy.
I mean, you gotta think about it that way, too. While voting sucks, it's like...
I'm not so much talking about, like, campus voting as I am talking about, like, you know, national presidential elections and shit.
Yeah, I had a feeling that's what you were talking about.
I don't buy into the whole voting thing, but I still do it.
Let me ask, caller, can you tell kind of those of us who don't follow student politics what the issues are, if anything, in this student election?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. The Students for Conservative America are saying that the whole, like, system at UC Santa Cruz is messed up because it gives preferential treatment to the ethnic organizations and to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender resource center.
Yeah, they don't deserve any rights at all.
Yeah, that's basically what the Students for Conservative America are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to split it up. They're trying to just take voice away and say that the SUA is biased because there happens to be two students that are black, that are really sharp and really know what they're talking about, but they're trying to say that it's just a messed up SUA.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful, man. It's really bad. So those are two.
I hear that they have lynchings on Monday nights.
No, but, I mean, did you know that May 18th, what's that, fucking today?
Yesterday.
Armed Forces Day, yeah, they were promoting that. Actually, that's where Fuck the War Day originally came from. I was cruising the Pentagon website, and I saw that, and so we ran that. I think they put that Armed Forces Day up just to kind of counteract the Fuck the War Day.
Yeah, because they didn't really have anything. They were just, like, support the War Day and didn't really say, like, what to do.
Yeah, it was, like, a last-minute effort.
Was there an actual, you know, demonstration in favor of the military on campus yesterday? Does anybody know?
No, I don't think there was. If you go to their website, though, it's like, there's pictures of them, like, in front of the gates to the Ronald Reagan Ranch, you know?
Right, well,
it's really bad.
Hey, well, you know, Ron is, I don't know what to say. but what about, I mean, you know, it's all very well to say, well, let's, you know, fight this conservative group, but what about some real change on campus? Hasn't this group that you're talking about been in power for quite a while, and what has it done, is my question.
Well, they haven't been in power. The whole thing is, it's kind of like...
Which group?
The SCA, right? The SCA just formed, like, earlier this year.
Matt Jones and...
He's a freshman.
Okay.
Who, like, Latrice and Leo, they've been in office for a while, and they've been having... I think that they got stuck with, like, just back work from, like, years of just unorganization... You know, from, like, the early 90s, and they inherited just total chaos. Straightening it up.
You know, years. I remember massive, hundreds if not sometimes thousands of people, not just solely students, but the community and the student body both.
Yeah.
Coming out against the war, against the bombing of Iraq, flooding the freeways, coming out against the Simi Valley jury's dismissal of charges against the Rodney King beaters. You know, massive numbers of people, but of course, in the last 10 years, there hasn't been any really repeat of that. And I guess when I see politicians on campus, I look at campus politics and I think, isn't it just, you know, more political posturing?
It's bureaucracy.
I mean, and I'm not talking about we know the regents are full of shit. We know that probably the chancellor's full of shit.
Yeah, is there an option on the ballot to vote out Greenwood?
No.
Maybe she should be burned in effigy daily at an appropriate place on campus, and every day a new issue should be raised as to how she, you know, how the students need to stand up on that one.
Yeah, if anybody wants to organize that, we'll design the poster.
There you go.
I was surprised last night. I went to, like, a fucking amazing forum at Kumbawa Jazz that was put on by some students, I guess, who graduated, part of this new coalition called the Ad Hoc
Committee. Yeah, how was that?
The Kresge Ad Hoc Committee. And it was fucking great, dude. It was great. They had Davey D from Hard Knock Radio up in KML, who got fired because he played the speeches from KRS-One and from Barbara Lee interviews, and also Boots Riley from The Coup. But anyways, they said that the actually acknowledge that Marcy Greenwood has been giving a lot of money to this fund to put on these alternative events. So, while she's still maybe fucked, you know, she did throw out some bones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there.
She does also want to continue cutting down forests in the north end of campus and build 5 new colleges.
Yep, and
a minor detail.
They want to put in like a 3,000 to 5,000 seat amphitheater, quote, somewhere. You know, it's like, where the fuck do you think somewhere is?
Yeah, I'm wondering when we get our football team, you know?
Yeah, I want to try out for the cheerleading squad.
So all kinds of great things are happening. As you can see, we've become very conservative in the studio suddenly, and we're really going to try to support our boys and our girls abroad, mostly our boys, since the girls have better things to do, you know, babies and things of that sort.
Dishes.
Yeah, dishes are important, you know, I mean, and they're very creative with fashion, I understand, as women, you know. So what's coming up in terms of student activity? If people want to get more information on how to make real changes on campus, who can they contact?
There's like an up-and-coming group called Students Acting for Justice, which is working in support right now of like Palestinian Awareness Week, them and the Muslim Student Association, but they're also working to pass out petitions about the in solidarity with the 41 students at Berkeley that are facing criminal charges for organizing and demonstrating up there.
A phone number for them? A website?
I don't think they have a website. I know there's a student environmental center up at UC Santa Cruz, which has done a lot of good things.
There is a student group called it's UC, Huff UCSC, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and it's...
Yeah, but I'm a little disappointed because I haven't heard a peep out of them.
Yeah, they're pretty, well, they've been holding meetings, but they don't really, you know, get out there and do a lot of strong stuff, partially because their numbers are so small. Now, we've seen with Dead Sea Dog that small numbers doesn't necessarily mean small impact.
Yeah, it's all about action. You know, you can't just complain and not do anything about it. Even if there's just two of you, you can. There's so much that you can do.
Right. So I know that you, Colin, will be interested in starting a new homeless civil rights group that's going to get out there and kick ass, maybe start a tent city on campus. What do you think?
I think I'm graduating in a couple weeks.
Oh,
I'm doing that too, but you know, you gotta play your cards right.
Well, again, I encourage people who are concerned with the rights of those poor people around you. It's all very nice to talk about Palestinians half a world away, and I go for that.
It's not just half a world away, dude. It's in our fucking
I know, but every night people get the shit kicked out of them and fucked with, and you know. That's happening, and the students have absolutely nothing to say about that, as far as I can see. A lot of the students,
of the students don't have anything to say about anything.
That's
aside
true.
From shopping.
But even you know the politically fashionable left-wing groups that are up in arms about you know civil rights for Palestinians don't have much to say about our own homeless community.
Yeah, that's a big problem though. The left up on campus really needs to get organized, and we need to get our shit together.
So there.
You know,
Dead Sea Dog at Hotmail.
As rich as like. Student body may seem to a lot of people, a lot of people really don't have a lot of money, and a lot of people do feel threatened by going to the places on Pacific Avenue and being asked for change and offered, you know, drugs and things like that. So I think that it kind of strikes a personal chord.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, this obviously you're talking to a critic here, but tell me your perspective. Tell me your experience. That's actually even more important.
My experience is that there's some cool people on the streets, and there's some really uncool people on the streets. And you know, so that's my experience.
Sure. I mean, have you been threatened yourself downtown?
No.
Have you been harassed sexually?
No.
Have you been? Well, I'm just trying to find out because you're making you're suggesting maybe some of your friends have. Or
but
some
no,
people, you
I
know?
Mean it's like it fucking hurts me very bad to walk past. You know, a young girl sticking out her cup, you know, or an old man, you know, who's not even asking for change. He's just looking you in the eye and just hoping you because he doesn't even have enough in him to ask for change, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just
you know,
at
most
you.
Of the time...
Of course
even
that fucking hurts, you know? But I can't go out every night with pockets full of change just because everyone I walk past is going
to
ask,
you know?
The
you don't have to.
The best thing you can do, even if you can't give him any money, is just look him in the eye, you know? Just
I
be
do.
Honest.
I give smiles, you know? And a lot of people understand my smiles and will smile back, and a lot of people just think my smiles are empty smiles, you know, and like whatever.
Well, that's, you know, what you're saying is really an important thing because I think your experience is universal. that happens to a lot of people. And the reality is, you know, you're not obliged to give any money to anybody, but what you're obliged to understand is what's going on. If you can act to change it, that's the key. And to me, the first key is to restore civil rights to people so they can try to do things for themselves. And, you know, there are all kinds of people who want to say, well, we'll have this little social service here, that little social service there, and that's fine. But in the meantime, usually that's coupled with removing civil rights, because what the merchants really want to do is get rid of the scene of all these folks. They don't like people being faced with the dilemma that you have, which is seeing people in need very visibly.
Yeah. It's not conducive to shopping to see homeless people, you know, on the street.
Yeah, it doesn't help a good shopping environment, you know. You want to have a favorable shopping environment.
It's got to be bright and shiny and clean.
Yeah. I mean, we after all, we want to, you know, encourage tourists to come to town and not create some sort of a sordid scene here, you know. I mean,
you know, I'm somewhere like between you with the theory that most people in Santa Cruz are Santa Cruz locals, and somewhere between Rockin's magnet theory where it's going to attract people, because I don't know where I stand on that. And to totally dismiss magnet theory, or whatever you want to call it, is I think, wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it is true that there's always a transient bunch of folks who roam about, and that's for sure. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at, for example, the magnet theory comes up as a theory when you talk about what happens if we eliminate the sleeping ban. You know, doesn't that mean all these homeless people are going to come and sleep in our front of our homes, in front of our shops, and you know, all over the place? And the answer is, if you look at places that have eliminated their sleeping bans for the periods of time they have, that didn't happen. There was no massive increase. It just sort of resulted in people continuing to do what they always did with less criminalization. I mean, that happened in Santa Barbara in 1986. It happened in Miami in 1992. It's Portland, Oregon has overturned its camping ban for the last 2 years. There's been no influx of people there. So the reason I say that Rodkin is wrong is because in other places where the sleeping ban has been dumped, there hasn't been an increase of people.
What happened in Santa Monica? Didn't Santa Monica have policies that were really progressive and really, quote, friendly to the homeless community, and then wasn't there some repercussions from that?
What Santa Monica had was it had a desire for a lot of people, and this happens up and down the coast, to gentrify. We have this mass pressure to invest and gentrify in San Francisco and Santa Cruz and Capitola and Santa Monica, and they wanted to eliminate the homeless scene that was there. I mean, the only thing Santa Monica has had and still has a law which is friendly to people who sleep in vehicles, somewhat friendly, friendlier than most cities. Although people who sleep outside, it's not friendly to at all. So you got to be, you know, rich enough to have a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the law is you can stay for half an hour. If you are found sleeping in a vehicle in a residential area, you must move. You get a half an hour's leeway, but you can sleep in non-residential areas in vehicles, and it's pretty much spreads out all over the town. There's not a really big deal about it, except, of course, there are some merchants who are determined to remove homeless people from the 3rd Street Promenade and other areas, and so they pass these no-sitting laws and things of that sort. Maybe you have more information. Do you know about a particular report from Santa Monica that we should know about?
I forget what it was. No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Rodkin is a liar on this issue. He really is. I continue to bring it to his attention. He'll jump from one thing to another. He'll say, "Oh, I favor social services. You know, I favor opening up things, but I don't favor ending a sleeping ban because it hasn't worked anywhere." Yak, yak, yak. And it's true that in some respects, you know, what's going to work? It's no good to have, you know, you need more than an ending the sleeping ban, but you certainly need to decriminalize the right to sleep. I mean, there is no other way for, you know, a civilized society. We aren't a civilized society, obviously, as you and I and everyone here in the studio knows. Anything more you want to add?
Well, I was just thinking about one more thing that was confusing in campus politics.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple more things, maybe, is that there's a transportation thing on the ballot right now, and it's to increase students from paying $59 to paying $69 every quarter for the bus service that goes around town.
Right.
And it's like it feels like a lose-lose situation, really. It's like if you vote yes for the buses, then you get like a little night owl service is how they're packaging this whole $10 thing where the buses will come, you're like fucked up at some party on the west side, the bus, like a whole city bus will come and pick your ass up.
Hmm.
Take you back up to school, which is good. good because you don't want a bunch of drunk drivers on the road.
Right.
You know, and it'll allow people to hang out later at night. But it's like, does it really take $10 from every student? I mean, what, 13,000 students times $10 per quarter? I mean, that's a fucking lot of money.
$130,000.
Yeah, to roll some extra buses around, it's like bullshit. And there's no transparency in how that money gets spent, even though they say that they'll show you their budget. It's, you know, it's holy. It's fucking bullshit. But it's like, if you don't vote for the $10, then it's like, what are you doing? You're just asking for more and more cars around town. You're just asking for your bus.
This is in the election coming up in a few days.
Well, it's been this whole week. It's like an online voting.
I see.
13th.
Yeah, what doesn't make sense is the amount of money that the TAPS makes from just ticketing people. I mean, they probably make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Probably obscene.
No, they don't. That's the campus police that make that money, according to the
campus police. It's not. It doesn't go to the campus, though.
It goes to the campus police, but it doesn't go to TAPS.
Well, I mean,
it's not the TAPS.
What do the cops spend it on? You know, donuts or something? That's a lot of money.
I don't know.
If they rerouted all that, like, money that went from parking tickets on campus into buses.
I'm sure they get nice new cars, nice new fucking cameras.
Know, these are important issues that we really need specific answers to, and that's the kind of stuff that I would think, as well as direct action, which I think is great, and I want to see more of it, and it's the most important thing. The research behind it that'll give us the answers to these questions is really important, too. You know, Huff is interested in these issues too. Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom in Santa Cruz. We have a meeting every Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square. I'm pushing it because I'd like to see a campus chapter activated. I think that the campus chapter is kind of, right now it's sort of in trouble, and it may not actually be happening at all. So, but I know that the other chapter is still happening downtown, and I'd like to see, you know, your group, whatever, I mean, if you have a group, you know, get together, maybe you could, Dead Sea Dog can do it, or the Dead Sea Dog Library Support Group,
we're
or whatever,
there.
You know, to find out, you know, what, how much money a year does go to, you know, tickets for the police, where do those funds go, how much is actually required to run a bus system, and these are questions that have answers, and they're questions that probably just require a certain amount of research, so why not look into them, and report back here in a week, sir. Of course, after it's all over and you won't have any choice on the ballot. Nonetheless, you'll be able to say afterward, oh no, you know, and maybe next time do something. Also, the budget is coming up in the city area too. I know this isn't terribly interesting for the students, but it does have some impact. And you know, asking, these are the questions we're trying to ask of the police department, because we can't get straight answers as to why there's a $7 million cost overrun for a $6 million police station that ends up costing $13 million for its exciting indoor shooting range and, you know, all that kind of thing. So, hey.
Hey, can I take issue at one of the Huff activists?
Go ahead.
I mean,
attack
I know
me. See
I,
if I
it's
care.
Not, it's not you, but, and I know that she's not here to defend herself, and I know it's a touchy issue, but I was a little bit surprised to see on Santa Cruz Independent Media, which you guys should all check out and post information to, SantaCruzIndyMedia.org.
And the picture of me doing a Heil Kron, I might add.
Yeah. But anyways, it's that Becky Johnson came out just really pro-Israel, you know? It's like, what the fuck is she thinking, you know? It's like, I thought that she speaks up for the homeless community.
She is,
you know,
yeah.
Why is she coming out and saying, you know, all this shit against the Palestinians when the Palestinians are having their territory occupied?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was so surprised, and I was glad to see that Van, you know, came out, and somebody who replied and said, what's the deal? I thought that you're a homeless activist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well,
is that not contradictory?
Well, I have a different position than Becky's on this issue, but of course I defend to the to the death, but certainly to the jailhouse door, somebody's right to have a different position on these issues. You know, no question about it. Becky is a very articulate individual. If she can, you know, speak up for her own position, I disagree with her. I probably, you know, am more on your from your perspective that you know, Palestinian are archetypal homeless people, as well as are numerous other people who have been evicted throughout the world. But you know, I think the reason it comes up is it's a hot issue, and obviously it's one that concerns her. She isn't speaking on behalf of Huff, you know, she's speaking on behalf of herself, and she's got her own perspective, and you know, I mean, I don't
Yeah, it would have been interesting to have asked Becky that as opposed to...
Oh, I'm sure that we may hear from her during the show, but frankly, I don't want this to turn into a lengthy debate on Palestine and, you know, Israel, because frankly, this is the kind of thing Scott Kennedy makes, you know, all kinds of mileage off of. He's over there, you know, posturing, and perhaps we're doing some good work on the Palestinian civil rights issue, but his own homeless issue here, you know, he's criminalizing him, so fuck that, you know, I'm sorry. You know.
All right, well, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
And the lines are heating up, or maybe we're all going to sleep. I'm not sure. Let us know. 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We will, what we can do here is play an actual interview from those scummy streets that we were hearing about. Actually, I don't want to misstate what our last caller said, and I appreciate his candor. You have to be honest about how you feel about things, and it isn't always that comfortable. In fact, it often isn't that comfortable. Here's another caller. Hi, I think you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. This must be that notorious Huff activist, Becky Johnson.
Oh.
Hey, Becky.
Is it going through the...
Wait a minute. I think we have lost you. Hang on just a second.
Connection.
This is not a... I think our phone just fell down, and we aren't getting anything on the line. This is not a plot. Hang on.
Let's see what we got there.
Do, 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 do. All right, say something. Louder. No, it's not coming through. We've lost our phone line. Great. We've lost our phone line. Help, help. For all you possible mechanics out there, technicians of the air, come on in and help us out. Poor one of the callers is trying to respond, and we have lost the... We have a phone call. Yeah, but they can't hear you. Becky says, I'm being maligned on the air. So she demands time to respond. As soon as the... Yeah, well, it's a pretty slimy phone trick, and we're going to try to fix this phone. We'll be back to you in a moment. So I really apologize. We are having trouble with our phone line. This is not a plot to... destroy the Israeli government and pro-Israeli government point of view. Rather, we want to make sure our phones are working. So if anybody out there knows how to deal with incompetent broadcasters like myself, please get into the studio and help me hook up this phone line again. In the meantime, we'll do a little tape here. This will give you an idea of what's happening downtown. A little something to hear.
So here we are on the sidewalk in front of Dell Williams Jewelers as the sun goes down about 7:30 on Friday evening on May 17th, and we're talking with a woman who has a Will Tell Jokes for Donations sign. Will you tell jokes for donations?
Yeah, of course.
Are these going to be humorous jokes or just so-so jokes?
I don't know, people laugh.
Well, I see you have gotten a few contributions there, and a nice-looking sign. No hassles from cops?
No.
Excellent. Do you want to tell jokes to the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience for the donation of the thrill of hearing it?
I don't know if I have any jokes that I can tell over the radio.
Well, no. This our radio station publishes any kind of jokes. We are a free radio station.
Oh, no.
You can speak, you can even say fuck, shit, piss, fit, motherfucker, cocksucker, and tits, if you wish.
No. Okay, I'll tell one.
All right.
Okay. Little Red Riding Hood, then? Little Red Riding Hood's getting ready to go to Grandma's house one day. Mom looks at Little Red Riding Hood and says, Little Red Riding Hood, you better be careful. The big bad wolf's going to come along and pull down his panties and pull down his, pull down your panties and pull down your socks, and he's going to fuck your little ass off. Little Red Riding Hood goes, it's okay, Mama. I know what to do. I'll bring this, and grabs a shotgun down off the wall. Little Red Riding Hood's mom's like, okay, you'll be all right, and she lets her go. She's walking on the way to Grandma's, and she runs into the three little pigs. The three little pigs look at her and say, Little Red Riding Hood, you better be careful. The big bad wolf's going to come along and pull down your underwear and pull down your socks, and he's going to have sex with you. Little Red Riding Hood's like, it's okay, boys. I know what to do. I brought this, and shows him the shotgun. They're like, oh, okay, you'll be all right, and they let her go. So she's walking and dark fall hits, and lo and behold, there's the big bad wolf. He looks at her and says, "Little Red Riding Hood, you done been wound. Now I'm going to pull down your panties, and I'm going to pull down your socks, and I'm going to fuck your little asshole." Little Red Riding Hood looks at him and lays down on the ground, pulls out the shotgun and says, "No, you're going to eat me like Grandma said you was."
Who said feminism is dead on the streets? So, this deserves at least a very small donation from your impoverished or stingy Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster. What is your name? What is your street name here?
Ferry.
And I noticed you have a cool t-shirt on. Let's have a better look at that t-shirt. How to avoid a cop. 1, run away. 2, hide. 3, throw him a donut. There you have it, folks. New angles on how to deal with our local police force. But how is our local police force dealing with you? No hassle?
None at all, actually. We just sit here and obey the laws, and they leave us alone.
And you are, in fact, your companion is doing some weaving? He makes hemp jewelry. Because I know they have been hassling some hemp jewelers on the avenue. I've heard some nasty stories, and I'm glad that you're not being hassled.
Yeah, if you sell them and you display them, they'll hassle you. But if you just kind of leave them next to your stuff and let people ask you about them, they won't bother you.
Pretty good. How about... how long you been here? How long you been in town?
This time, 3 weeks. We were here about 8 months ago, though. He's been here off and on for 5 years.
Any changes you've noticed recently?
Yeah, all the street kids changed. None of them are the same. They all went away.
Well, they had the infamous Yuppie Planter Massacre, as you know. They moved everybody away from Yuppie Planter.
Yeah, that used to be Hippie Planter. That's kind of depressing.
Now we have Hippie Pinch across from Borders. A lot of people there yesterday, must have been 30 or 40, but tonight they're only about 10 or 12. I guess it really varies from moment to moment.
It's Friday night. Nobody will be out till it's later when all the people come out to hang out. So, this is a slow part of the day.
Well, you have given us a joke. You have roused our spirits. Any final parting words here? Or parting...
Done.
Can you help me, my friend, out, man? We're trying to get through the capital.
Thank you very much.
No problem at all.
Here we have a man holding a sign, College Students for Alcohol Awareness. What's this about?
Well, we're collecting money for programs on campus. When a student gets caught for an alcohol violation, they have to go to certain classes that they learn about the dangers of alcohol, and they get informed. But the program at the school right now is very underfunded.
What school are we talking about?
We're talking about UCSC. And right now it's underfunded, and so a lot of kids are falling through the cracks, and when they get alcohol...
That money is needed for the chancellor's special retirement fund, isn't it? I mean, for her...
It's needed to help these students that are developing bad alcohol problems on campus. And so what's happening right now is kids are falling through the cracks, and when they don't go to these classes, nothing's happening. And so they just keep on going with the same lifestyle. And we're trying to change that and make sure that they have to go to these classes and learn about what kind of road they're on.
Now, there's six of you here. And what's your name?
I'm John.
And you're?
I'm Jesse. And I think the money that goes to the chancellor's retirement is going to be in our increased tuition next year. They're raising tuition.
You bet.
Which is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
So what are the students going to do to stop this shit?
We're going to protest. There's actually going to be a protest coming up in a few weeks on campus because a couple of regents are coming to our school to discuss, I don't know, paperwork, bureaucracy stuff, so we're going to try to stop it.
Very good.
See what can be done.
Now, how can people assist you in this project? Do you have a phone number you can be reached at, or is there an organization?
We're really just starting. We're a club on campus right now, and we're just getting started, so right now we don't have any kind of like special like number set up or anything for us.
Just kind of a small, visible presence downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
Just trying to help a good cause.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything the rest of you guys want to say for Free Radio?
Now that pretty much everything was covered right now.
Thanks again
for alcohol awareness. That's it.
Yeah.
Hey. And get George Bush out of the White House.
Thank you very much. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Can you make a small donation to it?
This will be played on the air if that's helpful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Why do we have one of these criminal musicians in the Dell Williams alcove? Sir, why are you engaging in this kind of criminal flautist behavior, flautisting the law?
Well, I've just assumed that Queen of the Realm I must play, and I'll have to put it down to temporary insanity.
Yeah, music be the food of love, play on. So here we have a man in a tweed coat, or it's actually, I'm not quite sure what kind of coat that is.
Kind of a spy coat.
Spy coat. And they have a sign that says, "Need help due to illness of wife who is in out-of-state mental hospital, North Carolina." Are you just trying to get money for drugs? What's going on?
Well, happy drugs. That's true. I like to be happy, so I'm looking for somebody like Timothy Leary that I understand he's he passed away.
Him but came and went.
I'm looking for his successor. So that's what I'm.
Is this line generous? Are they kind of throwing the coins your way?
Not really. This is a fairly thrifty line, I would say.
So they're willing to kick in $8.50 for a Star Wars, but not 50 cents for you.
That's about what it is. Yes. Well, this is a fairly tight line.
Well, we don't want your kind around here, John.
I know. That's one of those things, and that's why I may.
Why don't you get a job?
Well, that's what I need to do. Yes, but I am naturally lazy. That's my mental condition. I have a mental condition.
Well, you're a disgrace to this community.
I know. It's just terrible.
Luckily, these people are ignoring you in favor of more important things.
I really hate to disgrace this very nice, upright community here.
You're an eyesore, John. Why don't you get a job and get moving?
That's what I need to do. Probably get a job digging some ditches somewhere.
Some manual labor. It'll be good for you. How old are you, John?
I will be 73 my next birthday.
Well, you're young at heart. What is your problem?
Of course. I'm taking vitamins and so on, so who knows how long I might go on, you know?
I think you're just a wastrel and a beggar. That's all kind of good.
Yes, I must admit. I must be truthful with you about that.
I'm guilt-tripping these poor young people, for heaven's sake.
I know. It's terrible, and it bothers me. It causes me many a sleepless night.
At least your conscience is coming back to you, John.
Well, I'm trying anyway. I'm making an attempt.
Thank you. I'm not going to give you any money, but I will give you a small coin to make you feel even worse.
Well, yes, that might be good for me.
All right. We're talking to a man who's finding the court labyrinth is pretty expensive. What's your name?
Justin Boyer.
And Justin, you found you got a ticket for what?
For sitting on a planner.
And what happened? You're going to be going to court on that one in the future, right? You also got another ticket where you were found guilty, and you were told to do community service, and some complications ensued. What was that about?
Well, I have no idea, really. They told me that I had to do the community service for the first one that I pled guilty, and then they dismissed one. And then now, I guess I was supposed to show up for court for these other two, and they snowballed to $500 each. And I really feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
And what were the two tickets? They're now $500 each. What are the crimes?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I think one is littering, and then the other one is soliciting on private property.
And what kind of littering were you supposedly doing?
I dropped a wrapper and didn't pay attention that it didn't go directly in the trash can. It fell right beside the dumpster, and I even offered to pick it up, and I was still issued a ticket. And
the name of the officer who did this?
I'm not sure.
Santa Cruz Police?
Yeah.
Day or night?
Day.
Where, more or less?
But what I'm trying to tell you is that, like, the soliciting on private property and the littering, they put those two together, but they're actually separate offenses. And they said that because I didn't show up to get the fine issued, that it's a $500 warrant. And how does someone that's not even having a ticket issued already have a $500 warrant?
So, what, were you found guilty on these tickets?
No, I wasn't even found guilty yet. They're just trying to basically, I feel like they're trying to...
Did you miss a court appearance?
I did miss a court appearance, but it was a legit one, and I'm going in to tell the judge that.
Okay, what you have to do usually there is you have to go to the warrants department, because usually a warrant issues if you fail to make a court appearance, and you have to go to sign a promise to appear. Have you done that yet?
Yeah.
So you have done that?
Yeah, I signed...
There shouldn't be a warrant out for you if that's the
only... It's not a warrant, but it's a thing that if I don't show up to court, there will be a warrant for $500 on each one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if I go and tell them the excuse why I couldn't make it because I was getting a job, they're probably going to reissue it back down to $130 on each ticket. But if they decide to screw me, they can say, hey, $275 on each one, buddy, which more than likely they'll try to do because I'm poor.
But you're going to be turning to attorney Chris Fredrickson to try to get some help, right?
Well, exactly. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. I can't even get a job. I went into most of these places 3 and 4 times. I even have a cell phone number now. I go in cleanly shaved, cleanly showered, and I still don't get any response.
Is there a number you can be reached at if you want to offer you work?
Definitely.
What is that number?
It's 415-297-7706.
And what kind of work are you looking for?
Anything. Restaurant work, house cleaning, house watching.
Okay. Once more, the number is
415-297-7706. 877-707-7706.
Thank you, Justin. We have a man, the notorious visions of a hamburger sidewalk sitter, but you have a new sign here. What does that sign say?
Please help me see Star Wars.
How many times have you seen Star Wars?
None yet.
How many hundreds of dollars have you made on this sign?
Not even a hundred, not even close.
All right. I tell you, Star Wars is not worth the money, but perhaps this will enable you to finance other ventures.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Any hassles from anybody?
None whatsoever.
Darth Vader?
Not yet.
Darth actually hasn't. I guess he hasn't really made his prime yet in these prequels. Have you seen any other problems down here you want to comment on, or stuff you think that should be made brought to the attention of the radio audience?
Actually, I've seen no problems down here. Everything's going pretty smooth, to be honest.
Cool. And again, your name is?
Craig.
Thank you, Craig. We have a woman from Nebraska with a license plate in front of her, stranded from Nebraska, need gas money, please help. You are really from Nebraska?
Yes.
And how long have you been stranded in this oasis here?
I've been here for about 3 days, I think.
And what do you think of Santa Cruz?
It's pretty good. It's really expensive. Really expensive, especially gas.
How did you come to be stranded?
We were traveling from Nebraska, and we went through Colorado and Nevada and Utah, and we ended up in California. And we were going to go see some friends, but they told us to come to Santa Cruz first and then go to where they were at. And when we got to Santa Cruz, we didn't have any more money for gas, because it's $2 here, and down in Lincoln, it's like $1. So we didn't guess that it would be that expensive up here, so we underestimated on gas big time.
So you have a vehicle, but no gas?
Yes.
Yeah. How many are you in your group?
There's two of us.
And how long have you been out here on the streets trying to get gas money?
I came out here last night. Someone said, just get a sign and people will help you out. So I came out here last night and made a little bit of money, so I thought I'd try it today. I went to day labor, or labor ready, and got a job there.
And how'd you do last night? What'd you make?
Last night, I made, like, I think $25. Some business guy gave me $20 just to give it to me. I was like, okay, thanks. So.
And how, are you sleeping in your vehicle?
Yeah, or we pitch a tent next to it on the side of the road.
And have you been hassled by police or authorities for that?
Not for the tent. Today I got hassled, like, by 5 different police for having a sign.
The sign, stranded from Nebraska, need gas money, please help?
Yeah.
With license number 2AC261?
Yeah.
What kind of a hassle did they give you?
They just telling me I couldn't be where I was, or like one cop wanted a CID to make sure I wasn't pulling a scam. And
how would ID tell him that you were or weren't pulling a scam?
Just to check if I had a Nebraska ID.
And were these the same? Were these local police officers?
Yeah, they were Santa Cruz police officers.
And were you sitting where you are now, which is at the corner of Walnut and Pacific?
No, I was on Water Street, I believe it is.
Water and?
I think it was Water and Ocean.
Uh-huh. And how are you being to your community? Are you getting a friendly reception, hostile, cold, ignored?
Pretty good. I would never try to do this in Lincoln. People are actually very generous here. And I mean, even if they just stop to talk to you and, you know, or just say good luck, or, you know, there's always, they're pretty nice.
Yeah. And so the police told you to move from where you were on Water and Ocean to here?
They just told me that it wouldn't be a good idea to be where I was. One police told me if he came back around, I was still there, he was going to write me a citation. Another cop, you know, he said, if you want to go downtown, as long as you're 10 feet away from any door openings and you're not, like, approaching people and being hostile with people, then that's the perfect place to go. And he said, and if you don't want to worry about boundaries, go to the ocean. But there was one that was pretty nice, and a couple of them are, well, just real not nice.
Dickheads?
Yeah, okay. You can put it that way.
And your name is?
Victoria.
Victoria, anything you want to say to those free radio folks out there?
It's a beautiful place, but the cost of living is way too high. Way too high.
I think that there are few here who would disagree with you.
I don't know. If you're rich and you got ways to get income in, but if you're just traveling through, this ain't the place to get stuck.
So saith the woman from Nebraska. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, the May 19th, 2002 edition. In case you've forgotten to look at your calendar. Normally our phone lines are 427-3772. And we actually have an operational line. Whoa. So if anybody wants to call in, they can now call in again. I encourage you to try to limit your subject matter to some extent to civil rights, to homeless people, and or, you know, whatever. I mean, in that general vicinity, you got stuff about students. If you want to point out stuff around Palestinians, sure. But, you know, discussions of how to bake a chocolate cake, best reserved for another show. Oh, this sounds like a... Wait a minute.
Okay, I think we got you now. There we go.
Oh, I see. I wasn't even on the air.
No,
there.
You weren't even on the air. We tried to cut you off, too, without success. So, what's up? You must be that infamous Becky Johnson person.
Yes, I have been maligned by a previous caller, and then some strange thing happened to your phone.
Yeah, well, it was merely a coincidence, I can assure you. This is... So, you're speaking on behalf of the Israeli government? Is that what's going on?
The caller said something, yes, I'm agent for the Mossad, right. No, I think I'm speaking on behalf of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the truth here. By the way, I'm just looking at some of the website here for Santa Cruz Indie Media.
Let me point out, caller.
Someone is saying,
caller,
fuck you Nazi bitch.
Caller,
you know?
Caller, let me point out that, that Free Radio Santa Cruz is not responsible for bullshit on the website, A, and B, I would encourage you to direct your comments to what was said on the air. Unless you really feel you need to expand the discussion, because I foresee a massive and unwanted discussion of the issues of Palestine,
you know,
on this.
I think this pre-censorship is not in keeping with the spirit of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Just giving you my thoughts, but go ahead.
I have a view of your thoughts.
I will control what goes
caller.
On my show. I won't.
I noticed you didn't hang up
that.
On that caller when he's lapsed away from the homeless issue.
He did talk about student politics, though, which I think is relevant, because I'd like to see coalitions built there. He didn't go into long international issue discussions, it's true.
Well, I think some people have been criticizing me because they say, Becky, you're a homeless advocate. You know, how can you possibly be promoting Israel and bashing those Palestinians?
Mm-hmm.
And aren't the Palestinians the quintessential homeless people? Well, actually, I thought the archetypal homeless people were the Jewish people who've been wandering around the earth for 2,000 years and finally got a home 54 years ago by a UN resolution. And I'm not anti-Palestinian. I really want the Palestinian people to improve their living standards, to get rid of the corrupt government and get a democratic government that's not corrupt and works for them, is providing them the services and the education and the health care and the living conditions that that they deserve.
And you were also
people would.
You were also out on the streets yesterday with a sign favoring an end to the war policies of George Bush. So one has to clarify that it's not like you're some sort of special pleader. I think you feel that you are trying to rectify the what you feel is uneven expression of propaganda, which you feel is pro-Palestinian, mindlessly pro-Palestinian, without having the other side being told.
Let me give you an example. One of your other free radio programmers, Old Lady Scar Arms.
Yes.
She had...
Coming on later today, by the way.
Yeah, and I enjoy her show. She covers a lot of great issues.
From Vandenberg, yes.
She did a live telephone call with a caller on the West Bank, and this was during the Jenin incursion.
Mm-hmm.
And... this caller, it was like day two or three into it. It was only a few days in. That caller reported that 1,500 Palestinians had been murdered. There was talk of genocide and mass murder by the Israelis during this. And that's what was reported on all the leftist media was that 1,500 Palestinians had been killed by the Israelis in Jenin. Well, then they started downgrading. They said, well, maybe it was only 1,000. And then they said, well, maybe it's only 500. Scott Kennedy, if you look on the Research Center for Nonviolence's website, he's still claiming that the death rate from the Jenin incursion was between 50 and 600.
Mm-hmm.
But the Palestinians only could produce a list of 50 names.
And
the Israeli Defense Force had been reporting that 49, that they had counted 49 bodies.
Now we have...
So who was telling the truth all along?
We have a studio voice here, the notorious Darwin of Dead Sea Dog, wishes to bark on behalf of the... I'm not sure. What are you going to say there, Dead Sea?
Well, I'm just... You're speaking of Jenin, and you called it the incursion that the Israeli military made into that refugee camp. I mean, how can we know the numbers of the people who were killed there when Sharon and the Israeli government directly blocked the UN investigation that was going to go in there and find out exactly what happened?
I'm only reporting the... report from the leader of the Fatah movement on the West Bank. It was a Palestinian leader who reported that he had the names of 50 Palestinians who'd been killed and six other bodies that they couldn't identify. I'm not, you know, that's their own report. I'm not quoting the Israeli Defense Force. I'm not quoting U.S.
I understand that, and it's definitely people are exaggerating on both sides. You know, the Israeli side of the argument is going to say that the only people killed were, you know, militants and terrorists, and the Palestinians are going to say that the only people killed, or, you know, more people were killed than